Morning and a Christian greeting to each one of you. I greet you in the name of Jesus. And it's good to be here this morning. It's been good already in the different things we heard and through the opening and the children's lesson here as well, and just the importance of Jesus in our life and Him living in us and all this. And this is right down the lines that I want to talk about. But maybe could we just kneel in prayer before we start here yet? Dear God, we come to you here this morning. We thank you for another opportunity to be together in this way, Lord. I just thank you for your presence here with us so far. And God, I just pray you'd be with each individual that's here, Lord. You know the things we may possibly be facing even today. And God, you see each one of our hearts. And Lord, I just pray you would meet our needs and guide our thoughts here this morning. Lord, we just thank you for this brotherhood, for each one here, and that we can walk together. And Lord, I just pray that we could be sending out your light everywhere we go, Lord, everywhere each individual goes, Lord, that as a group and as individuals, that we could be a radiant, shining light everywhere we go. But Lord, just ask your presence here as we continue to study your word and look into your word. Just pray that you would help me to have clear thoughts and guide and direct my lips, Lord. Just thank you and praise you for your presence. I pray in Jesus' name. It's good to be able to be together here in this way this morning. Some thoughts I was having on just the chances, if we take averages and percentages of people in the world, how did we end up in a place where we can sit together in a nice peaceful setting, and we come and go, we go to our work, we can easily live and make money and do all these things. And I was just looking at some of the statistics of people that are suffering in ways that we're not. And as close as I could tell right now, there's around 123 million people displaced in the world. This is people that are, because of persecution, conflict, violence, human rights violations of different sorts. And most of these would just be happy for a little peaceful corner somewhere to live. And there's wars, we hear about it, and all this, and it seems kind of far away, and yet it's actually fact. And just to give it some perspective, this amount of people would be roughly the same amount of people as the state of Ohio 10 times over. So it would, if you even want to take all these people and put them in one, like put them somewhere, that's how much space and housing it would take. It's 10 times the state of Ohio. And just something I think about as an awareness of what's going on in the world and the need for us to be a light and a witness. So all these people, Jesus sees every one of them. For a text this morning, I'd like to read in Romans 2 chapters here, actually starting in Romans chapter 11, if you want to follow along there. Romans chapter 11. I'm going to read this as a background text of what I wanted to be talking about here a little bit. Starting in verse 33. As, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him, are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Just pause momentarily here. If we think about this verse of Romans, that verse 36 or 11, 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. If we could somehow fully grasp this, the meaning of all this, we wouldn't have a struggle to stay focused. We wouldn't. It just, everything is because of, by him and for him. It would, if we could keep that in our minds, that's, we wouldn't need to be going through a lot of other teachings possibly, if we could just keep our focus right there. But anyway, let's continue on reading chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I was going to mention there at the beginning of the chapter, it kind of switches, the writer switches a little bit from a doctrinal teaching type to a very practical message. It's just line upon line, very practical here, and it's kind of why I wanted to read down through these, and just as a background, I think I'll read chapter 13 as well. Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So here's where I got the title for the message here is in verse 14, is put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what I was looking at here. And just some comments on putting on the Lord Jesus Christ here. I guess my goal here this morning is for us to consider what, as in putting on, consider wearing as a garment, like putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. We put him on and it would be immediately visible by everyone that, oh, he has put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And doing some thinking about all that, it changes our, when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, it affects our actions, it affects our words, it affects our appearance, and people will be able to buy all these things. They will be able to say, he appears like he has put on the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing I noticed there in the, I want to make comment on in the verse 12 there. Yeah, it says, the night is far spent. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let's just consider with me what it would look like if all of Jesus' followers would have an armor on, or what they have put on, that it would actually give a visible glow of light. Like if each person would have each follower of Jesus would have a visible glow of light around them. Imagine what this would look like in our world today. And I was even thinking about this we've talked about outreach. So if we could see this, on the map, and okay, this spot's glowing fairly well over here. Maybe we have a darker one over here. And so maybe those were some thoughts I was having. It would make it easier if there was an actual glow of light, but maybe there should be more of a glow. And just wanted to, before I go further, make comment on the importance of just commenting on the only. So we talk about this, putting on Jesus and the glow of how do we do this? And Jesus is the only means of true happiness, peace in our hearts, and it's the only way we can have his put him on, and that's Jesus said in John 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the true vine. You're the branches. He that abideth in me, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. It's only in Jesus that we can expect to find any of these things, happiness, peace in our hearts. So I'd like to encourage you, if you haven't done so, now is a good time to do it. Okay, so I picked a few points out. There's a lot of points in all this, and I'm not even going to begin to go through these, but there's just a few I picked out in the beginning of Romans 12 here. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And as I think about these different points I picked out here, it is still to, in the idea of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very practical things. It's putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the idea of presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. So what does this look like? A living sacrifice. What do I look like as a living sacrifice? I'd like to read a little story about a family, but just thinking about a sacrificial life, I thought of it this way, that so I'm serving Jesus, so Jesus comes first. Jesus comes first, and others second, and me, myself, and I, where do I come in? I decided I come in at a very distant third if I'm in the picture at all. That's kind of where I was trying to look at that. But Jesus first, others second, and myself, I don't, usually our flesh takes care of trying to get us up in the forefront of that. But a living sacrifice for Jesus. So I took a story from the Martyr's Mirror here, condensed it a little bit, but still a fairly long story. I'd like to read that just in thinking of a sacrifice, someone that who was willing to sacrifice their life, their family, their dreams, their everything they had on this earth. And as we tend to get fairly content with, if things go well here, it's easy for us to just kind of go around in our circle of activities. Yeah, we keep it interesting and all that, but it's fairly easy for us to get content and think about the present more than the eternal. So this story is in the year AD 164, there was a widow woman at Rome named Felicitas, and she had 7 sons. This widow lady with 7 sons. These lived together in one house as an entire Christian church. It was said of the mother that by her Christian conversation she had with many Roman women, she converted many to Christ. By her Christian conversation, the sons on their part also won many men to Christ. So it just sounds like it was their daily life. It was just what they did. They won many people to Christ. So now when the priest complained of this to the emperor, that there were men and women who blasphemed the gods and despised their images and turned away from the old religion of the Romans, this widow lady and her 7 sons were blamed for being the instigators of this. And so it was decided, in order to prevent this, the widow lady and her sons must be compelled to give up Christ and sacrifice to the gods, or if they refuse to do so, be put to death. And so the emperor gave full authority over them to Publius, the chief magistrate of Rome. Publius, willing to spare Felicitas as being a highly respectable woman, first secretly summoned her and her sons into his own house, where he entreated them with fair words and promises, but afterwards threatened to punish them with severe torture unless they would forsake the Christian religion and readopt the old Roman worship of the gods. Felicitas' response was, I am neither moved by your flatteries and entreaties, nor am I intimidated by your threats. For I experience in my heart, I want to note that, I experience in my heart the working of the Holy Spirit, which gives me a living power and prepares me for the conflict of suffering, to endure all that you may lay upon me for the confession of my faith. When Publius saw that he could not change her mind, he said, "Very well, but have pity on your sons and ask them to save their lives." But she turned to them and said, "Remain steadfast in the faith, for Christ and his saints are waiting for you. Behold, heaven is open before you. Therefore, fight valiantly for your souls and show that you are faithful in the love of Christ, wherewith he loves you and you him." Even though the judge was enraged with her response, she had the courage to tell him, "If you, O judge, would know your Savior, Jesus Christ, and the power of his Godhead and majesty, you would undoubtedly desist from persecuting the Christians and wouldn't seek to draw us away from the Christian religion by blaspheming his holy name." They struck her with their fists to silence her, but she kept on admonishing her sons to remain steadfast and to not be afraid of torture or death, but to die willingly for the name of Christ. The judge talked to all the sons separately, trying to get them to recant, but they all remained faithful. They were all sentenced to death by various means. The mother was required to watch all of her sons be killed before she too was executed. These things seem far away and all, but this is reality in some places right now as well. And we never know our own future, but what I'm trying to get at is we somehow need this level of commitment to be willing to live sacrificially in the way that Jesus would have us to. Jesus is the perfect example of sacrifice. He gave himself. In Ephesians, there's a verse I wanted to read. "Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us in offering a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." He gave himself for us. And so we, in return, should be willing to give our lives for Jesus. And we need to, in order to be well, to be able to do this, Colossians 3 verse came to mind, is "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry." So mortifying our members in order to, like, basically my wants, my desires, my goal, my all this to be put aside for Jesus' sake. Had a few more verses here. I was trying to think. Let me read this one in Matthew 16:24-27. Jesus said unto his, thinking about self-sacrifice here, unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, then he shall reward every man according to his work." Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will save his life for my sake shall find it. Need an attitude of service and unselfishness. Unselfishness is a big thing. It's a big word in for any Christian. It's just the way we view life and everything. Is it about me or is it about an attitude of service? And it comes even to thinking about Romans 14, verse 21, there's a verse that says, "It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor any other thing whereby thy brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak." So considering others. "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." An attitude of service to others in the whole idea of sacrificial living. And then going on to the next one I have here is holy. Present your bodies holy. And holiness, as definition, purity or integrity of moral character, freedom from sin, completely clean, no sin, sanctity. Holiness is perfect purity. First of all, I wanted to think of how do you become holy? We need to be cleansed. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us, he will cleanse us. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. Then the following verses, 1 John 2, verse 1, my little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. He wants us to be cleansed, but also not be sinning, continuing in sin. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So let's strive for purity and holiness. And as these verses, he says, write this unto you that you sin not. But if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But let's strive for purity and holiness. And in Matthew 5, there verses come to mind about if your eye offends you, your hand offends you, pluck it out, cut it off. And I think that is just telling us that do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. If we find ourselves in a situation where every day we go by the same thing and it causes us to, then let's go this way or move there or do something. Let's not continue to go right back into the same thing. But let's be willing to change our current circumstances for holiness so we can present our bodies holy. God is a holy God. And he desires his children to be holy as well. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, in Leviticus 11:45, he says, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. He did not want his children to be defiled by any of the things that they were used to. And God still brings his children up out of Egypt, and he still wants us to be pure and holy. So may the Lord help us follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So holiness of life is a very important part of our lives. Acceptable unto God. Present your bodies acceptable unto God. When we think about being acceptable unto God, different things came to mind, but the verse, study to show, that is in Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Nevertheless, this is skipping a few verses still in the same chapter of 2 Timothy 2. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God will peradventure give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. The thing that stuck out to me in this here was the prepared unto every good work. A vessel that is sanctified, honorable can be used by the Lord for every good work. Hebrews 13:16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Our reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. A few thoughts on this. Be not conformed to this world. In the Amplified Bible, it just simply states it like this. Do not be conformed to this world or this age. Then in parentheses, it says, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs. And as a definition of conforming, it's to fashion or shape one thing like another. Just, it can, something or someone starts taking shape of what they are closely associated with. We tend to start thinking as those we associate with or yeah, and it's a choice we need to make, a conscious choice we need to make of okay, so do I want to do this? Do I want to do that or not? And if we just kind of move along and don't really think about this and we happily, merrily do stuff with other people and we think, oh, we won't quite become like they are. We do tend to become that way. But these are choices. These are choices that we need to make. And just a word of caution I would have is the Bible is our guide. And let's make sure everything measures up to the Word of God. It's easy in this day and age to, we've got social media, we've got podcasts, you have all kinds of things. You can easily just get on and listen to some whatever anywhere in the world and it's easy to follow stuff like that. But I would say let's make sure the Bible is our guide and we stick to it as our guide. And just a few comments on just be not conformed to this world, just on the world. There's other verses that talk about worldly lusts. Titus 2 verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously in this present world. I missed the first one. The verse prior is, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. James 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So this should move us to try to not be a friend of the world. Or be careful that we don't become a friend of the world. Then also wanted to read the verses in 1 John 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And if you look at these verses, the love of the world is a heart condition, first of all. And it manifests itself outwardly as well, but it's a heart condition that needs dealt with. So, going on into the next part, just a thought on the idea of conforming to this world. How are we adapting or not adapting to this world and its superficial customs and practices? These are all choices that we need to make. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed. This is meaning of undergoing a complete change. Undergoing a complete change, a transformation. And as we undergo a complete change, it will be evident in character and conduct. It will be expressed in character and conduct. Some things I thought about as far as a difference from an old Second Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Think of a change a butterfly has made to become a butterfly. Started out as a caterpillar, and now it's a butterfly. All things have passed away. It's a complete transformation. And think of a person that has been living in guilt and in sin and a heavy, guilty conscience, and it gets freed. And the peace and the joy that comes with that. To read this one passage in Ephesians 4, verse 22. Put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Transformation. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I just was going to make a little mention of this, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to. And thinking about this verse in 1 Timothy 6, where it says to charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. And I don't know that I've ever just really heard that laid out about who should we be talking to now, who's rich in this world. I don't know if anybody's ever talked to me about it. Should I be going after Bill Gates or Elon Musk, or suggesting maybe there's a little bit of high-mindedness going on here? So why is it in here? What's going on? And I would say from my experience living in Haiti that it seemed like people that came to visit us often had solutions to all their problems. Like they would just go down the list and check them off. And I think it bears out of the fact that we have more. And so if we go to a place like that and they are living in poverty or perceived poverty, that we automatically know the answers, because, you know, there's things that are happening here that are not happening there. And I think that's a tendency for us, that just a tendency that we... If we have a lot of riches, it kind of automatically makes us feel like we understand processes better than those that don't. It just, I think that's as clear as I can put it. But it's something that we need to guard against, because we are a well-to-do people for the most part, I would say. Anyway, just wanted to get back to putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. The idea, I think the purpose for all this writing here was, to the Romans, was to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what I still want to keep our focus on, that, and that in all we do, that we are cloaked with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to read Ephesians 6. Verses 10 through 18 yet, before I close here. It talks about the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So I'd just like to leave you with that, encourage you to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and as it said there in at the end of Romans chapter 13, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.